So, truly they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who will inherit salvation. Now, getting back to what I was talking about before, here's where Todd Bentley has received a little bit of criticism. And people, I mean, they get emotional in some of these internet debates I've looked at. Todd Bentley claims to have had visions of angels in meetings showering blessings on the church. He would see a vision. He'd be worshiping or something like that. The Lord would show him a vision of an angel, and the colors or things would be coming out, or like gold dust or something, but then the angel would be giving blessings in this vision, and then that would be followed by, within the next few days, an actual literal physical blessing from God that would, you know, take place in some way, whether in finances, healings, physical healings, prophetic giftings, and things of this nature. And he's gotten some criticism on to some part from cessationists who don't believe in anything supernatural, and it's all from the devil and that kind of thing, but also from some Christians and charismatics who say, well, you know, I'm not sure it works that way, you know, and so there's been a lot of debate going on about it. People, for instance, have raised the question, wait a minute, New Testament here, isn't the Holy Spirit supposed to the one who's supposed to be doing the ministering? If we now have the Holy Spirit who came in power on the day of Pentecost, why does he need all these angels? Why doesn't he just use the Holy Spirit? That's a valid question. You know, and it's an interesting question. And so let's explore that. Why is that? Well, let me say this before we get into that in deep. You know, we do need to be cautious. I'm not saying that we just go and, you know, if we believe something is legit, we just don't go about accepting everything at face value without some critical thinking, without being cautious, without looking for balance, taking the good. You know, test all things, despise not prophesying, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Be discerning, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but check out what's good and follow that. What's bad, make corrections, let leadership, you know, exercise oversight, and then, you know, steer clear of, shipwreck. We can recognize what is good without being swept up and just taking things carte blanche without any critical thinking. We can use discernment and still enjoy a tremendous blessing from God. So, let me say this. First of all, these visions that he's having. Scripture says definitely that people can encounter angels in a vision. I mean, obviously angels appear to people sometimes, oftentimes in bodily form and interacted with them. But Scripture also talks about instances where angels appeared in a vision or in a dream. For instance, Joseph, the husband of Mary in Matthew 1:20 and in Matthew 2:13, in those two instances, had a dream where an angel came to him in a dream while he was asleep. Wasn't just, you know, your old average, you know, well, I ate too much, you know, tuna fish and you know, ice cream tonight before I went to bed. This was a literal encounter with an angel while he was sleeping in a dream. I've had dreams from God at night that were not just your average everyday tuna fish and ice cream dream. You know, I would wake up almost sweating with, you know, huge conviction on me, repenting on my face before God because he showed me something in a dream. And angels can appear to people in dreams. They can appear in visions. In Acts chapter 10, verse 3, Cornelius, the Gentile, saw an angel coming to him in a vision. The angel just didn't walk in the, you know, knock on the door. Hi, I'm, you know, Angel Bob. Nice to meet you, Cornelius. Mind if I come in? I have something from God. Cornelius was worshiping, and he had a vision from God of an angel. And the angel communicated to him in that vision, through that vision. So people can have encounters with angels in visions and in dreams. Now, can they give blessings? Absolutely. We just talked about a whole bunch of different blessings. They can impart prophetic knowledge. Many of them have done that in Scripture. Talk about the book of Daniel, book of Revelation. In fact, in Daniel, a particular spiritual blessing that an angel brought to him was like two different tracks, two different kinds of blessing. Let's look at Daniel 8:15. Then it happened, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Who's Gabriel? An angel, right. Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Verse 17. So he came near to where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and stood me upright. So God sends the angel Gabriel to Daniel. Daniel sees him, gets scared, falls on his face, and then Gabriel begins to talk to him. And as he talks to him, while he's on his face, Daniel said, I was in a deep sleep. Now, a couple options. The angel was boring, and Daniel fell asleep. I don't think so. The angel talked for a long time, and Daniel just kind of lost track and dozed off. Nah. What does this sound like? Sounds like almost an ecstatic or a trance-like state, kind of like being slain in the spirit, when the spirit overwhelms a person and they fall out in the spirit. Here's an angel. He's coming in power, Gabriel, one of the mighty angels, and as Daniel is down on the ground before him and he begins to speak, Daniel goes into this state, which he describes as a deep sleep. Okay? You see that often in Scripture. Not often, but you know, not infrequently in Scripture. And then when the angel touched him, he stood him upright. You know, literally probably just, you know, brought him up off the ground. And he explained the meaning of a vision. So here you have two different blessings. One, he gives prophetic revelation. Here's what the vision means. And on the other hand, he also ministers to him deep in the spirit so that Daniel literally falls out in the spirit. And then he lifts him up. Okay. Another example of angels bringing blessings. For instance, Ken mentioned, you know, let's just find this, find my place here again. Ah. Cool. This is good. I can see the expectancy on your face. Can angels heal? Interesting question. Well, you know, there's the one account in the New Testament where people were waiting by the pool of Bethesda because they believed that, you know, when an angel moved the waters, that the first one in would get healed. And we looked at that back in part 10 of our study of the Gospel of John. You can get that from Gus if you want, where we realized that that particular part of the passage that said the angel moved the water was not in the oldest and best manuscripts. It appears to have been something added by a copyist to explain why they were waiting by the water, because later readers might not know. Now, it doesn't mean that angels don't do that. He was just inserting there that that's why they were waiting. Scripture doesn't say that angels, you know, don't do that. It's very well possible that an angel could have been moving that water. But I think something even better than that can be found in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 6, verses 16 to 18, and then verses 19 to 21. I think this is fascinating. I hope you find it that way too. Elijah is out, you know, in this place with his servant, and these armies, I forget the name of the king that had these armies come against him and they want to kill him, they want to take him out. And so, starting at verse 16, Scripture says, so he answered, Elijah is talking to his young servant, he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. This apparently, servant apparently went out and saw all these armies and went back to Elijah and said, yeah, we're in trouble. There's soldiers out there. Elijah probably said, how many? He probably said, all of them, you know, like in the Terminator. Anyway. And Elijah said, don't fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, why did God allow that young man to see that? Any guesses? God is awesome. Amen. Elisha asked, and God answered his prayer. I would speculate his purpose was to encourage the young man. Young man was scared to death. He's like, we're all going to die. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. And when he And when he opened his eyes, he saw the mountain was full of angels and horses of, and chariots of fire. Do you think that was encouraging to the young man? Now, if those angels in their chariots and horses were not going to do anything, do you think the Lord would have bothered to show it to him? No. What purpose would there be to show him a bunch of things that are never going to do anything? He might as well show him trees and rocks and clouds. But he showed them that there were angelic warriors there, and he was expecting him to be encouraged by that. And hold that in your mind as we go a little bit further. Verse 18, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Okay, I'm going to have to go around the barn a little bit, but think about this. Think about this. He shows the boy, the servant, and Elisha an army of the Lord's warriors. Elisha then prays and said, Lord, strike the Syrians with blindness. And he does so. Do you think it's possible that when the Lord struck them with blindness, that he used the army of angels to do that? Have angels ever been used by God to strike people blind? Matt? Yes. Sodom and Gomorrah. I knew you would knew that. That's why I called on you. Plus, you were shaking your head up and down. Hey, you don't want to be called on? Don't shake your head up and down. Angels previously that in Scripture had struck people blind. The fanatical gay people were trying to break in to rape Lot and the angels in Sodom and Gomorrah back in the book of Genesis, and the angels that were there struck them blind. Now, I would submit to you, and I'm going to prove this in a minute with some other scriptures, that when Scripture says that God does something, it often means that God does something through his angels or his people or his servants. We're going to see that. Okay, so hold on to that possibility for now. Elisha prays, strike him with blindness, and he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Let's go down to verse 19. Now, Elisha said to them, to the blind people, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. So Elisha prays, make them blind. Bam, they're blind. Elisha prays again, basically heal their blindness, let them see again, and bam, now they can see. The Lord, the possibility is that the Lord, when he struck them blind, used the angels to make them blind. Isn't it also therefore possible, if that's true, isn't it also therefore possible that the Lord used the angels to heal them afterwards? I would submit to you that it is, and let's look at this scripture that I think will add strength to that. 2 Samuel 24:15. In Jerusalem, during the time of King David, when he smote 70,000 people, so the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of time of the time designated. And 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the
angel,
thank you, stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord was grieved because of the calamity and said to the angel who was afflicting the people, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So, verse 15, who sent the plague?
The Lord.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
The Lord.
Who?
The Lord.
You sure it wasn't President Bush? Danny Kaye. No. Who sent the plague? We're all in agreement. The Lord sent the plague, okay? Down in verse 16, the Lord was grieved because of calamity, and he said to the
angel,
son of a gun. What was the angel doing? Afflicting the people. Who sent the plague? Who was afflicting the people? Ah. Bing. So when the Lord afflicts, he often does so through his angel. Isn't it also therefore possible that when the Lord heals what he has afflicted, that he does so through the angels? I think that's reasonable. I stand to be corrected, but I think that's fairly reasonable. Now, going back to the original question, well, if we've got the Holy Spirit, hasn't the ministry of the Holy Spirit superseded the ministry of the angels in the New Testament? I don't think so. Here's why. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 30.